Amen. I just want to go a little further with that. Verse 13 says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. Put on the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up your shield of faith, which you can extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. Take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Bible, the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So it's a call to battle. I received a notice from Bishop Bickerton, who is our Episcopal leader in our conference, and he requested that this Sunday that we would preach a message to encourage the saints to continue in the fight with all of the evil that's going on in the world today, that we not lose faith. This week I lost a friend up in Connecticut, Jim Migley. He was a Catholic priest. He left the priesthood to get married and became a Methodist minister. He was up in North Haven, Connecticut, and he passed away, and his wife was completely just blown away because it was a sudden loss. 62 years old, died in his sleep. And her 14-year-old son grabbed her by the hand and said, Mom, don't lose faith over this. Don't lose faith. And I think that's what the bishop was asking for us to do this Sunday. In spite of all of these horrific stories that we've been hearing lately, and they are horrific, and they seem to get more and more horrific each and every time. Don't lose the faith. And so this is Memorial Day weekend. I mentioned that, and some say it's the weekend that kicks off the summer season. That's true, too. But as I said, it's far more significant than kicking off the summer season or having a barbecue. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's when we remember and we choose not to forget those who made the ultimate sacrifice for freedom. And I've said this many times before, because of their sacrifice, we could gather in this sanctuary this morning and worship freely without the fear of persecution. And that's not true all over the world. We know there are underground churches, there are churches that are burned to the ground, and we have the freedom of this country to walk through these doors and worship this morning because of what our men and women in uniform did and sacrificed their lives. You know, I want to keep with an army military theme this morning to encourage you. The armed forces is made up of an incredible band of brothers and sisters. It's one of the first things I learned early on in my service was that I wasn't just responsible for myself. I was responsible for all of those around me as well. No lone rangers in the military. It required teamwork. Teamwork was extremely important. Accountability was important. Accountability to your superiors, to your subordinates, and to your peers. And that accountability is unshakable, whereas there's no revolting over that. It's one mission, one body, one team, and that's how you move out. And completing the mission that's set before you was extremely important. And that was made clear early on in basic training. In every formation, early in the morning, for those of you who were in service, the battalion would gather and all of the companies would be present and all the platoons in the company would be present. And each platoon sergeant or platoon leader would respond back to the battalion commander, "All present and accounted for, sir." And what you were doing was you were actually confirming that all of the individuals under your care in your platoon were either present in the formation or you knew where they were, on sick call, on leave, or whatever. Now, I'd like to translate that into another army, the Army of God. Now, no doubt the Army of God has a different mission than the United States Army or the other branches of service, and battles against a different enemy. There's no doubt about that. But it's a battle, nevertheless, that we're in as the Army of God, the church. We as the church are involved in a real war against good versus evil. And there's a lot of evil in our world today. And I think you all know that. And in order to do this, we must be accountable to one another as the body of Christ. I mentioned that the platoon sergeant or the platoon leader would say, "All present and accounted for, sir." This is a soldier who is present with his unit. He's trained, he's in formation, he's ready to take up his or her specialty to carry out the mission in battle. And likewise, every person who claims to be a follower or a disciple of Jesus Christ should always be present and accounted for in the army of God, the church. But then there are those in the body of Christ that are killed in action, KIAs. It means that a Christian went up against a well-trained opponent and was eliminated from service. Not physically killed, but spiritually killed. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus talks about the sowing of seed or the soils, and he mentions one grouping of seeds that land on a hardened pathway. And they take up root, but they don't last very long. They hear and they take possession of the word of God, but the enemy comes and he takes that seed and removes it from their heart. They are in the army for a season, but then they're without armor that I mentioned earlier in Scripture, and they're without a weapon, and they're eliminated from service. They're done. Like a flash in the pan. They had a good experience in church, and wow, everything's going well, but then the world, the enemy comes against them, and next thing you know, they're eliminated from service. And then there are those who are missing in action, MIAs. And every war has MIAs. These are individuals missing in action. They're still on the roster, but they can't be accounted for. Don't know where they are. I mentioned this in a sermon a number of years ago. My wife, her uncle went off to war in the Korean War, and he never came home. And to this day, he's listed as an MIA on the roll. Never recovered his body. Don't know where he is, but he's MIA. How many soldiers in the Lord's army go missing in action? They're unaccounted for. And when the roll is taken, they're not in formation. What happens when a person goes MIA in the Lord's army, God's army? You know, like unlike any other army, many within the ranks of God, the church, they often feel it's just the commander's job to be accountable for those MIAs. Now, I want to tell you something. The ultimate responsibility does fall on the commander. But the commander would never be solely responsible for going after an MIA. As a pastor for many years, I've heard members of the Lord's army say to me, "So-and-so is missing. What are you going to do about it?" And oftentimes my response is, "Soldier, what are you going to do about it? You know so-and-so is missing. You know where they are. Go out and get them. Bring them back to formation." make contact. But what about the MIA who's missing by choice? He's not wounded. He's not a POW. This person knows where the headquarters is, but chooses to stay away from the formation. From day one, and I want to say this not as a boastful way, maybe because of my military background, my police background, I've always been in a semi or military frame of mind. You know, even the Methodist Church is sort of a layered sort of organization. It's sort of semi-military, right? We have a district superintendent, we have a bishop, we're accountable, and so forth and so on. And I'm accountable to the church as well. But from day one, even when I was a lay person, I never saw it the church's responsibility to keep me in church. Never. I never saw it the church's responsibility to make sure I attended church. I signed up, I joined the army, and so it was my responsibility to be loyal through my service, my presence, and my commitment. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir because you're here today. So what do we do with MIAs? What do we do with missing in action individuals? Well, we should pray for them. We should call them. If possible, visit them. We should write them. What I am saying is we should contact them. It's the responsibility of every member in formation to take that action. Because we are the body of Christ. We are the Lord's army. We're responsible for one another. And so we should take care of our MIAs. But what about POWs? They're not missing in action. They're accounted for, but they're not in formation. Actually, they're under the control of the enemy. The believer's taken captive by the enemy of God. Is one who has been rendered non-combat ready, rendered helpless in battle, out of service, out of action, can no longer fight, POW. They're just not battle ready anymore. And the hope of the resurrection and God's word, perhaps they've given up on practicing their faith. And now they're held captive in the enemy's camp. And I could give you a million stories why I've seen that happen and how I've seen that happen over the 35 years of ministry. And lastly, there are those that the Army classifies as deserters. Now, many of us remember a soldier by the name of Bo Bergdahl, who I believe was a disgrace to his uniform. He willfully left his post, and he deserted his fellow troops, and he walked over to the enemy, the Taliban, in Afghanistan. And I want to tell you, that's a bitter pill to swallow, because everything in my mind and my training says you would never do that, ever. But he did. And I want to say that many of his fellow troops died trying to rescue him, because they didn't realize at first that he deserted. But unfortunately, the same could be said about the army of God. They once enlisted into the ranks of the army of God, but now they've deserted the faith to a place where they sometimes become even more radical than they were before they came to know Christ. I've seen people who've actually left the faith and became agnostic or atheist and were combative against the army of God. They now fight against the army that they once served. Hebrews chapter 6 says that they were once on fire for the Lord, but now they've abandoned the faith and they worship other gods. Yes, this actually happens in the army of God, but don't let that happen to us. And I don't think it will, but it's something to be mindful of. Friends, whether we realize it or not, we are serving in a real army. We're fighting against a real enemy. Yes, there is a Satan. I know a lot of preachers don't like preaching about that. And I've said this many times, he's not in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork. He's a spiritual entity. And I want to tell you something. He's a notable enemy because in and of ourselves, we can't defeat him. But in Christ, he's under our feet and we have victory over him. We're engaged in a real war today. The Lord knew how important it would be for our army to work together as a team and for each and every one of us to be accountable to one another, our buddies to the right, left, in front, behind. When a buddy is missing or wounded and out there, a real soldier doesn't say, hey, so-and-so is missing or wounded out there. But you know what? That person has a legitimate reason to be AWOL. I've never heard that in the Army. PFC Jones doesn't like the food they're serving in the mess hall, the chow. They serve too much SOS, and only veterans will understand that. And so he went AWOL. He has a legitimate reason. And the commanding officers say, oh yeah, that's a pretty good reason. The food is pretty lousy in the mess hall. No. He's AWOL. And no petty reason will justify his leaving formation. Now, let me end by saying, I'm not preaching this sermon this morning because something's going on in the ranks of our church, okay? Like, you know, I didn't get up and say, you know what, I'm going to just tongue lash them because they're just evil people. No. Not because of anything that's going on within our ranks, friends, but an encouragement for each and every one of us to be accountable to one another and to Christ. Because when we work together as a team, a fighting force, equipped with the armor that's described by Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, there is no demon in hell that can defeat us. The enemy's busy out there on the battlefield, friends. He was busy on a subway in Brooklyn. He was busy in a supermarket in Buffalo, New York. He was certainly busy in an elementary school classroom in Texas. Horrific. The enemy's evil. He's busy. And it's the church, the army of God, who's in the firefight, battling against evil in this world and the evil one who's behind it all. Only evil could have done what happened in that classroom in Texas. We've been given our orders by the commander-in-chief. No, not the president. Jesus Christ, the commander-in-chief of our faith, to go and make disciples, changing our world one person at a time. What a challenge for such a time as this. But through Christ, we could do all things. Amen. Work on your neighbor, the person in the waiting room at the doctor's office, a family member, a stranger you meet on the street. Show the love that Barbara spoke of. Let's change one heart at a time to eradicate the evil in our world and let love triumph over evil. Because love is so much more powerful. Amen. We are the army of God. And if a child could say amen, and my sister Pam, then we could say amen too. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray. I got two more amens. Father, I just pray that I preach this sermon as a word of encouragement. That we as the body of Christ have all the power we need to change this world. It's been done before. And it can be done again. It must be done again. We need to make a difference in this crazy world we're living in. Not through infighting, not through division, not through hate, but through love. And so, Lord God, I pray that challenge us this morning as members of your army, that each and every day when an opportunity makes itself available, we will step out in faith and speak to that waitress in the diner. Speak to that person on the line at the bank. Speak to that person who's going through a hard time. And if we could just change one heart, one mind, one spirit at a time, and multiply that several times, we could change our community and our world. Evil will not triumph over good. And we pray for that in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.